Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Angela Antonelli. Angela is the Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, thanks. And joining us in our conversation is Greg Greeven. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Well, Angela, let's start by talking about HUD. Could you give us an overview of its missions and activities?
Sure, I'd be happy to. HUD's mission is to increase home ownership, support community development, and expand access to affordable housing free from discrimination. Now, what exactly do we do to support this mission? HUD is a financial institution comparable to a Fortune 100 company with a $32 billion budget and more than 10,000 employees. We serve more than 4.8 million citizens through our public and assisted housing programs. Through the Federal Housing Administration, better known by many as FHA, we manage a $500 billion portfolio of insured mortgages, making HUD one of the federal government's primary agencies supporting homeownership. HUD also is a major source of federal dollars for community development efforts, providing funds to more than 1,000 state and local governments. In addition, HUD also has several programs to help state and local communities address the needs of their homeless population, and the department is a primary enforcer of housing anti-discrimination laws.
Angela, can you tell us about the Office of the Chief Financial Officer? How many employees work in the office and what types of skills do they have?
Sure. The Office of the Chief Financial Officer has a staff of a little over 200 people. We have many different functions that we perform that are in support of the department's mission and the programs that we deliver. The areas that we're responsible for include budget development and execution. Obviously, there's a lot of focus now on budget and performance integration, so part of all of that exercise includes performance measurement and the integration of performance measures with our budget and the budget decisions we make, how we're going to spend our money. We also have all the accounting functions, transactions for the department. We maintain the department's financial systems. A large part of that is our core accounting system. We have the travel management function within the department that includes management of travel cards, travel purchases in another term within the department. I maintain the Working Capital Fund, which funds all information technology within the department. So there's a wide range of activities. We also have financial management within the Office of the Chief Financial Officer and the responsibilities within financial management. That role within the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, for me, is really an oversight role. We do all of our interactions with the General Accounting Office, the audit functions, audits performed by the General Accounting Office, the audits that are performed by our Inspector General of our programs. We also interact a lot with OMB and our financial management division, as well as our budget division, play a key role in our interactions with the Office of Management and Budget. But basically, the audit functions within the department are coordinated through my financial management division.
And of the 200 people from that description, it sounds like they're all accountants deeply trained in financial management type skills?
A lot of my staff, probably about half of my staff, are accountants. Mm-hmm. But we also obviously have budget analysts, management analysts that perform some of the other functions that I mentioned. But obviously, the accounting and systems functions are extremely important part of what we do in the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. So I do have a large part of my staff as accountants. I have a Fort Worth office with a director based out in Fort Worth that has about 60 accountants that are based out there. So a lot of the department's transactions are processed through my Fort Worth Accounting Center.
And what are your responsibilities as a CFO?
Basically, to address many of the issues that I just described that my staff handles, and to really be the leader in carrying out those functions. So I really love the CFO's portfolio at the department because I really think it's very well integrated, because I think there's in some other departments, CFOs don't necessarily have the budget function. But I think integrating budget with finance is extremely important. And to have those two functions together, I think, works particularly well. My responsibilities include, again, budget development and execution on behalf of the department, making sure that the president's and the secretary's priorities are reflected in that. And then also from a financial management perspective, when it comes to budget execution and management of the dollars, making sure that those dollars are managed well.
Well, you said something interesting. You said you were the leader. What does that mean in that context? How much of your time is doing the work, watching the work? How would you describe your activities?
Well, I think all of my time, 100% of my time is the CFO leading my staff, which I think I have a fantastic staff, and executing those responsibilities. I see my role as very much making sure that my staff, but also the staff throughout the department that are responsible for finance and for budgeting, have the tools that they need in order to execute their responsibilities and to do it to the best of their abilities. So I work very closely with them and make sure that I can help facilitate getting the work done and making sure that it's done well and making sure that problems, particularly long-standing problems, we develop a plan of action for addressing those. And again, we bring the necessary resources, whether it be staff, whether it be dollars, to bear to address those problems.
Can you tell us about your government career prior to HUD?
My government career prior to HUD.
Or your whole career?
I basically went to Cornell University. That's where I received my bachelor's degree. And from Cornell, I went to Princeton University, where I received a master's in public affairs. After I completed my graduate degree, I came to Washington. My career in public policy already sort of being decided at that point, a longstanding interest and love on my part, public service. Came to Washington, started out as a presidential management intern. With the U.S. General Accounting Office, had done several rotations, the PMI program, again, the Presidential Management Intern Program, which I think many people are familiar with, is a two-year program. Ended my service in the PMI program at the Office of Management and Budget. I served in the Office of Management and Budget as an analyst, regulatory analyst, and then a deputy branch chief through 1993. I had left OMB in 1993, went to work in a consulting firm, served there for 2 years. From there, went to the Heritage Foundation, which is a public policy think tank. And from 1995 until my appointment, was the Director for Economic Policy at the Heritage Foundation.
Well, when you came out of Princeton, did you know you were going to end up in the financial part of public administration? Or
It's a component of what I do. I had always been interested in public policy, budgeting being a part of that, economic policy. So for me, this has always been an area that I've been very, very interested in, and I think is absolutely critical. I mean, for me, the chief financial officer's job and the responsibilities that are tied to that in terms of budgeting and finance are so critical mm-hmm. to the ability of a department to execute its mission and to do that well. And so for me, there's probably no better way ultimately to influence public policy and ultimately to make sure that programs are executed efficiently and effectively and that taxpayers' dollars are well spent than through carrying out the responsibilities that are reflected in the position of CFO.
Your experience includes positions in private and nonprofit sectors as well as federal and state government. What are some of the differences that you've observed between these sectors?
The fact that I've spent time at the federal level, the state level, in the nonprofit sector and the private sector is on my part designed. I really wanted to get the different perspectives from serving in all of these different levels of government and then also in the private sector. And there certainly are differences. Coming back into the federal government as the CFO, having entered government, having entered public service in Washington at the federal level, I was reacquainted with some of the challenges within the federal government that are perhaps a little bit easier to accomplish in the private sector. And those are areas, for example, like human capital, being able to hire and retain staff. Another area that's a challenge is the area of procuring services and the lengthy process and complexities of the rules and regulations in order to procure services. So human capital, procurement are probably two areas that I see as perhaps being more challenging being in the government as opposed to the private sector. And it does have an impact on the ability to move as quickly, I think, as one would like sometimes to address problems.
Did you find yourself in the different sectors using different management skills?
When it comes to management of staff, I think it makes no difference. I think as a good manager, you don't necessarily have to be expert in every single thing that your people cover and address. What you need to understand is how to, again, serve as a leader in making sure that you can provide a vision and then make sure that your people have the tools and the resources and the guidance in order to be able to execute their roles and responsibilities, and to encourage people, the recruitment of good staff, the retaining of good staff. These are all things. People are so important, whether it's the private sector or in government, to getting the job done, wherever you might be. And as I always say to my folks, without people, nothing can happen. And it's really the ability to attract and retain and mentor good staff. And in the case in the financial management area, I think in government, it's particularly challenging to be able to attract that staff and retain them, but give them the tools that they need to be able to do the job well. And again, I don't think it makes any difference whether it's government or the private sector.
Well, that's a good stopping point. Come back with us after the break as we continue our conversation about management with Angela Antonelli of HUD. How does one earn a green for financial management on the OMB scorecard? We'll ask Angela when the Business of Government Hour returns.